In the words of Joseph Campbell, ritual introduces us to the meaning of what is going on. A ritual in which many of us partake is saying grace before the meal. Its ritual understanding is this: we are eating that which was alive, plants and animals. To sanctify the death of those lives, we offer thanks so that their death may contribute to our life. That is a ritual. The ritual sphere in which I am concerned is theology and worship. And the names for ritual in the church are ceremonial and liturgy. Each of us tonight will present you a basic question based on our area of expertise for the dissemination of ritual. Here is mine. In the last 30 years, worship has been changing, and many of its rituals have changed. They've become less formalized, simpler, and more streamlined as we increasingly live in a less Christian culture. Some people want to counteract this by explaining every part of the worship service so that people will appreciate the ritual understandings and come to know the depth and beauty of the last 2,000 years of Christianity in worship, to explain that ritual as it is happening. Others feel that when ritual is explained, its power is lost. And herein lies my question to you. A friend of mine told me, who is an anthropologist, that the most significant form of learning we have in our life is the rituals we perform. My question: can the ritual understanding be best learned through the body? Or do rituals need analysis? Is the body learning of the ritual powerful enough? Or must a ritual also have cognitive analysis?
I think much of the time we recognize things only when they are foreign to us. For example, most people do not think that they speak with an accent. I understand that I really don't, but everybody has that belief as well. Anthropology students often come into a college course and are told that they are going to examine ethnic groups, and all of a sudden they are asked about their own family, and they say, "I'm not an ethnic. I'm me," or "I'm American," or the like. Or, Susan, if I may tell a story of yours, which I don't do often, Susan Briel, while at POU, was once asked to serve on a panel of discussion because the person on the other end of the phone said they wanted a person of gender on the panel. See, that was better than mine. So I think the same is true of ritual, that we notice other rituals and perhaps do not notice so easily those that we ourselves are engaged in, and that is a matter of course. And as a result, we can easily miss the ways in which ritual sustains us, reminding us of who we are and making us more so that way by not noticing. It seems to me also that ritual tends to put us into community. Even if we're doing it by ourselves, we are acting as our others around the world. We are acting, maybe more importantly, as others have down through the centuries. And so it can be a long, historically long community that we are involving ourselves with when we are involved in ritual. I'm not sure the one we just did is going to have a long history, but many that we actually participate in do. In complement to Jim's comment about the way we understand and whether it's analysis or doing that goes on, I'll just mention the phrase tacit knowledge. Many times we understand and know things without articulating them in words. That doesn't mean that it is something other than cognitive. It doesn't mean that that stuff doesn't meet up in our heads with stuff that we talk about very analytically. It just means that it's a different kind of understanding. at the same time, I wonder whether we need to notice ourselves doing that sometimes, because otherwise the ritual or the meaning of the ritual will break down. So my question is whether there are some rituals that you know about or that you are involved in which are in danger of being forgotten or in danger of being misconstrued, maybe more likely, because they're not being explained at all.
Well, all of you have stolen everything I was going to say, so you're lucky I don't have much to say. I think that the question about rituals for me is, in order to find meaning in a ritual, does it have to be something tied to your experience? And we've been sort of addressing that already, and I think that using this, what we did tonight, I would maybe take issue and say that possibly we would find meaning in this ritual if we did it every year. And if everybody knew we were going to do it, and people started coming to Holden every second Tuesday in August for the ritual of the sticks, for some strange reason. But that is that's the question that I have, is does it take a participation of some part of you that identifies with that ritual for it to have meaning? And how do we give that identification to people, particularly when we're talking about rituals that we think are dying, that are significant? There are rituals, as a mother, that I want to bring up that I think we have been extending to the male community over the last 25 years that many men were never connected to. The ritual of changing dirty diapers. Things that are difficult, that used to be very difficult for men to do, and they would say, I don't do that. Now they understand that. And they understand what it means to have a baby on some level, at least, and some of them doing some of the dirty work. And so I think there's a connection of maybe suffering that rituals can connect us to one another. We can identify with other people if we know what they're going through, and a ritual may, something that is a horrible job can become ritualized if there is meaning attached to it. So that's another aspect of ritual to me, is the history that then gives that ritual meaning.
Well, these are very provocative comments. Maybe I could just restate the previous three questions, since we have Mary Beth right on our mind. Jin asked us to think about, can a ritual understanding be best learned through the body, or must a ritual also have cognitive analysis? Keith asked us whether there are some rituals you know of in danger of being forgotten or misconstrued because they are not being explained. Bob asked us to think about, was that a proper response? The crying, because it was thought to be the thing to do.
Is doing the ritual the response that the ritual represents?
So let us throw those questions onto the ground for people to respond to, or other questions that have been raised by this experience in your minds, or other comments that might respond to other thoughts you've had during this these 2 minutes together.
I'm
ritual attempt to know each other a little better.
Yeah, that's true.
particular or to anyone in general?
No, in general, before
we certainly came up against that in our preliminary talks about it too, which as part of our trying to find what the exact topic was going to be. I agree completely. I mean, there are rituals that you do alone that we're talking about. Does that add to your, how does that affect your knowledge of a situation or your learning versus your thinking about something versus the physicality of doing something as is alone? And I think it is a different thing because the communal ritual we did here and the year we often talk about, that which is community ritual and learning to be a community, that kind of learning too.
I think there's also an aspect to ritual that when ritual survives for a period of time, it takes on a different character. And at least in the church, when a ritual has survived for a while and takes on an orthodoxy, it is suddenly called a ceremony. And I think there is a difference between a ritual. Perhaps a ritual can be any personal act that helps to concentrate the mind. Those rituals that have been sanctified by the community have lasted a certain amount of time and taken a structured order can then be called ceremonies or ceremonial.
Once more, the phrase that Campbell used in describing ritual.
ritual introduces us to the meaning of what's going on.
One of the things that occurred to me that I might like to raise for people to consider is we've talked about ritual as that which introduces us to meaning and connects us, perhaps throughout the ages, perhaps throughout geographic span. But I'm wondering also about ritual that blinds us and numbs us from what's going on, and ritual that disconnects us. Because I think that sometimes ritual, we've been talking in a sense about ritual as the power for connection and meaning and good. It seems to me that ritual can also be demonic.
Decided by the individual. The example I've used in classes before is my grandmother's lumpy gravy. Every Thanksgiving we went to my grandmother's house. We hated going to eat her gravy because it was always lumpy. This ties in with the idea that rituals can be demonic. We would get there and the gravy would be lumpy. We would all complain about it, and every Thanksgiving we hated it. She's dead now. What do we talk about every year? My grandmother's lumpy gravy. It's reached the level of a tradition. And one of the things we see in the church is, I hate going to church. And then people leave in their 20s, but they start having children. They come back in their 30s, and they say, you remember that awful green book we had to sing out of? And then when they come back, what do they want to do? Sing out of the green book. So I think ritual is contextual.
Well, Jim, I'll address your question a little bit in that when our children, you know, we have always said grace, partly because we grew up saying grace. And when our children were born, we continued to say grace. And as our children grew older, at some point, one of them said, why did you say grace? So then we explained why we said it. It needed that for her to understand why we did this. Why was this important to our family? When she was tiny, we didn't say, okay, now Bethany, we're going to say grace because blah, 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 every time. But at some point, sometimes our rituals do need explanation. Not every time, but probably at some point.
When we were doing this for ritual, I was being very aware of my response to it, and I was very willing to let you be my leader in whatever tribe I was a part of for this experience. But I also knew that three or four times of doing it without understanding the meaning of it, I probably would rebel. I probably would ask you, what does this mean? So it's funny that I would rebel. but I very much want to understand the meaning of it. And I think sometimes you kind of get it, and you don't need it to be verbal. But if you don't get it, then I would want to discuss it with somebody. So I want
that,
to know
the
meaning.
Would that make it easier for you to do it?
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't do
easier
it.
Easier for you to easier for you to remember the motions.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
I'd like to pose a question about what did you think you were doing? What did you think you were watching when the kids came in and were doing this ritual? What did you think it was? Did you have any sense of what you were watching?
Something satanic out of Lord of the Flies.
I don't know if it calls to the newly requested ritual of naming ourselves. Could you share your name?
Well,
I'm
sorry.
What
is my name?
Why did you think that?
It felt very disturbing to me. For one thing, that these were young children. They did not seem to be thinking for themselves, assuming any responsibility for their behavior. They were being blindly led into something that I had no social understanding of. And that made it very disturbing to me in itself. And the scream itself confirmed my worst suspicions.
That's great.
Anybody else with, can we ask this question?
I, first of all, if I hadn't known that the session was on ritual, I don't know if I would have seen it as a ritual versus a performance. That could then be from context. I happen to go to lots of dance concerts, and probably would be related to our context, so I saw it as a performance, not as a ritual. And I wonder if that's sometimes the problem that we have, for instance, the church, for the rejection of ritual and all the changes going on now, is whether people thought that was a performance. Performance for performance sake and not a participatory or a sharing ritual. So I didn't picture it as a ritual.
I think that's perceptive. We talked about how much clue to give as to what was going on. Jim and I and Cynthia didn't know what was going to go on. We just knew Bob and Mary Lynn had something planned. But we decided we should put the word ritual into the title, or else you would think it was a performance. So we thought we needed to clue you in. And of course, in a certain cultural context, you would have known because you would have seen similar things going on.
I'm Jill. And I suppose never the scientist in me. I've been a party to early discussions about this idea of doing something on ritual. At that time, we actually talked about having some performance potentially around some real ritual. So I spent the entire time watching the kids trying to figure out what it was they were doing. What ritual were they imitating? Not that I was looking at it as a new ritual, but trying to figure out what it was.
Any other comments about that? Because I think this
My
is
name is Steve.
Yeah.
Myself, I watched it and I kind of just made up my own meaning. Like I saw the people on the far end doing their own things. I kind of just visualized them being like the upper class and the people on this side raking the ground like the lower class. And then when I did it, I just played the part of the lower class. That was my meaning.
Hi.
So.
My name is Susan.
Yeah.
I thought these were warriors with spears doing a ritual thing, preparing for battle, and these were the agriculturalists. These were the people who worked the ground. And I thought I saw an uprising as they finished their work and turned, and I thought it probably was the ritualized movement of a moment in a people's history when those who tilled the ground stood up and yelled at the warriors. And the warriors yelled back. They both found it was futile, and this yelling stopped. So I thought it was.
So then, when you went in to do it yourself, you acted that out.
When I did it, I mean, the part I liked the best was the screaming, because one rarely gets to do that. For one thing, I'm thinking that we should maybe do that more often. But also, I was thinking, if this is a ritual of my rising up and saying, I've worked the ground, but I am not going to be lorded over by people with the spears, I thought I should really do that. But that the screaming ended with your hitting the ground told me, this is a ritual scream that reminds me of an uprising, because there's an end to it. I don't just scream as long as I'm angry, I end it.
We had to do that with the kids this morning. We had to end the screen.
any other response about the porn action?
One is Erica, and I think it's interesting how one thing in a ritual can kind of just capture the whole thing for you, and then you necessarily can't fit all the rest of the pieces in, but that's what you think about it. When the people on the side turn, go, sounds like a sprinkler. And so the whole thing for me is about sprinklers.
How about when you did it? That's when you listened to it. When you did it,
I
were a sprinkler? Go ahead.
I
the question's impulse that was ritual or kind of unexplained ritual or explained ritual. And we talked about faith versus reason, and we talked about knowing through the body or knowing through cognition. But you've also brought up knowing the other things that make us know and remember, being things like sounds or smells or intense emotions or deep bonded connectedness. So you really pull forth with your bringing out sound the question that we have, that was behind some of this, of how do we learn and remember for a long, long, long years those things that sustain us. Yes.
I'm glad I happen to be at both suppers tonight, and I'm impressed with the kind of reaction that was there. And I suppose it was intentional that you had Susan introduce it, the person with some respect in the community. So everybody presumes that this is a serious event, and the absurdity that flies past. And I was sitting there with the six-year-old. It was a classic Emperor's New Clothes situation, because he spoke up and said, "What are they doing?" None of the adults around me have the temerity to do that.
What in the world are they doing?
But we assume, we presume we should respect such things. And I suppose if you did it every night for a while, people would start ignoring it. But the first time through, everybody sure gave it their respect.
Yes, it was.
Good.
I was
the one person
that I realized, I don't know if Susan does it this before grace, it will give it much more power. Within context, putting it in context, power.
I'm not sure that's true. Around my table and the table beside me, I didn't sense any of that respect for this, and I think part of what was wrong was that not only did this action have any inherent meaning in it, it had no sense of connection for me. I didn't have a clue what this was all about. And so I think when we talk about ritual, there does need to be some sense of connection on the part of the community to a meaning that this action has. And I suppose if I had witness something like this from the time I was a child, it might take on some sort of inherent meaning.
It had no meaning.
Well, I just to ask, when you said that, I suddenly thought of a foreigner from a.
No, excuse me. I don't mean the one here. I mean the procession of the sticks.
Yeah, yeah. No, it had.
But I
did hear somebody say. I did overhear somebody say they were at the far end, and somebody next to me said, "It's like somebody died."
But yeah, you can impose all kinds of meanings on it.
Yeah,
But I think the truth, there is a truth to human actions, and we make up rituals all the time, and some of them carry on and some of them die. And I think the ones that carry on are the ones that have a connection between the very actions that we do and the truth behind that action. And so in some senses, it doesn't need Jim's intellectual explanation until we start to intellectualize other things in our life and look for explanations in other ways. And then we kind of, that question comes up. Well, I wonder what this action that I've done my whole life and has some connection, I wonder how I would verbalize this, or I wonder how my community would verbalize this. But I believe that the actions that become and remain meaningful rituals don't really need an explanation.
It's interesting. I'm going to step out of the moderator hat for just a minute to disagree in a sense, knowing my experience of the liturgy. Well, wait, I would agree and disagree. I'm thinking of two powerful experiences of the Lutheran liturgy. Once was after I'd been for almost 2 years a missionary in the hills in Honduras, and I'd never encountered a Lutheran liturgy in that time. It was with the UCC, and it was non-liturgical worship, and I had never studied the liturgy in terms of having it explained. But I went into the city and I stepped into an Episcopal church and I heard the liturgy and I was overwhelmed. I wept with the power of it. And it was unexplained in the sense that I hadn't studied it yet. But I would disagree with you when I think of another experience, and that was after studying the history, some early church history, and finding out the incredible ancientness, the power of the words, and realizing, and this is explanation to me, the historical meaning of it, and realizing that there was a flock of witnesses beside me, and the people of God was singing for 2,000 years the same words, and it was
was only, you know, in that later part of my adulthood, with knowing that explanation, that the liturgy became mystically very, very powerful in ways that were bigger than ever before. So in a way, I want to throw out the explanation of some sorts can play as people, and now I'll step out of that back into this one.
Yeah, I'd like to just follow up on that. I think we probably don't do careful enough thinking about how to incorporate new people or strangers in our midst into our ritual. I can remember I've been a campus pastor all my life, and I had a student who lived with us, and because he lived with us, he decided to come to our service occasionally. And after he'd come for several times, and I made no effort to explain anything to him. He came to me one day at my office and he said, "What are you doing up there in the front?" He said, "Did I smell wine?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "And you're all drinking wine? And what is that all about?" Well, that gave me an opportunity to explain to him, to incorporate him intellectually. That's the way he chose to try to identify with us. Had I not done that, I think we would have been an in-group and he would have been totally outside, perhaps forever. That became the beginning of a dialogue with him about the Christian faith and resulted in his embracing the Christian faith at some point. But I think we often are very much an in-group with our ritual, and we exclude, not on purpose, but just exclude many people who wander in, even other Christians. In our liturgical tradition, and there's a certain kind of almost smugness about it, that this is the way we do it, and we don't have to explain it to anybody else. We've done it that way.
So ritual is forming boundaries that both on the positive side community, but also
the ritual can destroy
other questions or comments by people that haven't yet spoken.
My name's Ben. I was wondering, talking a lot about highly religious or symbolic rituals, but what about rituals with almost no aesthetic, meaning like getting up every day and doing everything in the same order? I mean, some people set their alarms for 7:30 and sit in bed until 7:45 and then spend, you know, a certain amount of time getting ready. But if their alarm doesn't go off and they get up 15 minutes later, they feel hurried and they feel as though they have no, you know, control over what's going on. So I'm wondering, does the ritual of doing the same thing every day and knowing exactly what's going to happen give, like, some measure of control or a feeling of control over what's going on? I mean, is there something that's less, can symbol rituals be less, explaining, or giving meaning to actions as, say, giving a person a feeling of control over their environment?
One of the things that I heard Joseph Campbell once say is he felt that the reason there were so many gangs in our culture is because our society no longer has rituals for rites of passage for young people. And I like your question about to what extent is ritual pattern by which it gives us a sense of control, and to what extent is ritual context for making us feel controlled and letting us know that we're in control. And I'd be interested to hear some people actually respond to you question, certainly to what Ben said about what rituals are we in danger of losing in our families. I mean, one of the things we talked about was having the evening meal together without the television on. But that's an important ritual, and that's, or have simply, and then we started saying, well, even simply sitting down together to have the evening meal, or simply not buying it somewhere, but making it at home. It seems to me a lot of those very important individual cultural rituals that give both control and pattern also have a very deep meaning for what bonds us. And I wondered if anyone would offer up some of the other family rituals that have been lost. I know one of the ones for me is that because families move so far apart from each other now, the idea of getting together for holidays is sometimes gone.
Yeah, I think that's a good
I'm Sandy. One of those rituals that's lost is dishwashing. We used to always wash dishes as a family, and that was a good talking time. You could actually talk to your mother about stuff you really didn't want her to know you even wanted to know about, because you were looking at the dishes, you weren't looking at each other. But we don't wash dishes together anymore.
I just want to have a remark. Wendell Berry, who is he's sort of a funny kind of agriculture conservationist, writer, philosopher, novelist, said something that relates to that. He was saying how in our society that has everything, we have stopped sharing because we all want to have our own. And that's broken down our sense of connectedness. So things like, actually I should go back. He said, divorce has been a great thing for capitalism, which I found was really interesting, because everybody has to have their own. Where there was one household, now you have two. So capitalism loves divorce. I thought that was interesting. But his notion is that this idea of a pattern of work has been broken down by all these supposedly leisure providing things. Things that we used to do that we shared are, as you were saying, are no longer, they don't happen because we all want to get the job done really quickly. So we do our work in isolation. So you cook that quick meal in the microwave for one person or two people because you can do it quickly. And all of these labor-saving devices that we have in some ways broken down community so that we're not sharing. We're not sharing time, we're maybe not sharing tools, the idea of going across the street and borrowing things, thereby getting to know neighbors doesn't exist anymore. And that just brought up that idea that, you know, how as a society that has everything, we maybe are ending up with less and less and less that's really shared.
We need to close Zoom with the formal part of the forum. Is there one or two more comments or questions before we do that?
My name is Nancy, and I just got a comment which reminded me of the change of compared rituals with jobs. Rituals, your job is just a ritual versus your job that has the same ritual but knowledge behind it. Look at a medical technician versus a medical technologist, an LPN versus a registered nurse. One has maybe 2 years of college, the other 4 or more years of college. They can all do kind of the same work. But the one that knows the more, that's had the more college, not only are they paid more, they can make more decisions, and I think that has implications in what we're talking about too.
So, I'm Jill. I'm just curious how it was explained to these youth who performed this ritual for us, what it was they were doing, and why.
I explained no meaning. I taught them the same way I taught you, except I took a little more time than them. It was all that was important was the movements, the sounds, the behavior. All that was important is what they looked like.
And the why?
The why.
Were they told why they were doing it?
No. No, there was no why at all.
We don't have a why. Yeah.
There is no why.
We didn't have a why.
Even
I tried to destroy all the why.
They knew that.
Uh-huh.
That's a
lie. They knew that we were going to do it for this forum.
As a performance.
No, we told them it was originally.
They knew time, but performing this task that was mysterious, which is what you were saying, is frightening and can be disturbing to people from the outside watching. It's like, what are these people doing and why am I not included?
It did come from a germ of an idea that we had talked about briefly. In African cultures, still living in the tribal society, puberty has a ritual similar to what you saw. for the men. The women of the village get together with sticks and chase all the boys out of the village over the bridge, to which all the men of the village are waiting in war paint with fire. And the women chase the boys screaming, and they're stuck in the middle of the bridge. They cannot go back to the women with the sticks, and they are afraid to go forward to the men with the fire. And the image is, to become a man in adolescence, you must break away from your mother, your father must become your mentor, and both sides entail pain.
That's where it started. And I tried to take all the information, specificity that out of it. It changed because we didn't know how many sticks we were going to have. We have some people with sticks, without sticks. The last one on this side got sticks at the end because we have a lot of sticks. Their whole thing was originally done without sticks. But I tried to take that and disguise it and just take the elements of the two groups. And we couldn't do one person or a small group caught in the middle because that made a third group or an actor. So that was limited. Just all practical considerations for trying to remove the information and still maintain. And the shouting, because it was dramatic.
Each has the leader. In the African tradition, it is the witch doctor who comes to the bridge, pulls the boys over, and the men take them and initiate. That was basically the initiative.
Well, that little bit of history about this ritual or performance, as it were, I would just thank everyone for the physical participation and the emotional cognitive participation in this event, and ask that the conversation continue and that the questions keep flowing as the days go on here.